Father God, we come to you this morning and we ask you to take this heart of stone and turn it into a tender heart of flesh that is pliable and moldable. Oh God, we ask you this morning to create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation. We ask that in the name of Jesus, our precious Lord, our precious Savior, our Commander-in-Chief, our leader, our life. We ask that in Jesus' name this morning. Twyla, can you just turn the stand a little bit, please? Twyla, every time I come into the house and you're playing that piano, feel the anointing. I feel the anointing of God. That anointing is real, because without the anointing, we can do nothing of any value. We need the anointing of God. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're not born again of the Spirit, as the Bible says, it's life is just a dirge. Unless you're born again from above, what's life about? All of us in this room can testify to an empty, hollow life. We try to fill it with all sorts of stuff, but yet we're never satisfied. Satisfied for a short time, the booze, the dope, the men, the women, whatever, the chocolate. But it never really satisfies. So without the anointing, we're unfulfilled. When I was in London a few years ago, I was taking the team through London, went to where the crown jewels are. And where the crown jewels are, there's a long spoon like this. It's called a laver. You might have heard me say this before. It's a long spoon, about a yard long. And there's a flask of oil at the side of it. And a pastor of mine, Anthony Delaney, told me the reason behind the laver and the oil. I'm still a bit loud here. He says, the reason that the oil is there is to remind the queen, without the anointing oil, she cannot do her job. The queen knows that she cannot rule England without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you this morning. You have the anointing upon you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And I want you to listen to this scripture, because we've got some fantastic testimonies for you this morning, a couple of testimonies. Reading from 1 Peter 3:15, it tells us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In the NIV translation, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. The delivery is very important, isn't it? We can have a legal letter of the law without the Spirit, and it'll crush people to pieces. But if you're anointed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you'll bring life. You'll bring purpose. You'll bring hope. You'll plant future in people's lives. And we all have the ability to do it. If you believe that or believe it not, the Bible says, I've prepared you for such a day as this. And new things are beginning. Talking about personal testimony, the story of what God has done in your life diffuses arguments. And it puts to flight preconceived ideas about God. Your testimony is your story about how God, the God of all creation, has personally impacted your life, and nobody can ever, ever take it away from you. Nobody. They may not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They may be an atheist. They may be agnostic. They may be just full of unbelief. They're discouraged about the church and where's it going. When you look at a church from the outside and you've not got the Spirit of God inside you, it looks foolishness to people. Oh, there they go running with the Bible again. Oh, there they go again next week. So you have opportunity to share your faith, which is so powerful. The Bible says God's word will never, ever return void. It will do what God chooses it to do. It's my privilege this morning to introduce to you this morning two young men who are willing to share some of the story with us this morning. These two young men, actually you wouldn't think we were brothers, but yeah, we may have a different mother, but we've got the same father. Get up here. God bless you. Where's your brother? He got stuck. Oh yeah? Oh, you didn't put him to work? He might. He'll try and come. Okay. You didn't leave him behind the washing machine or anything, did you? Doing work? He is at work. So, would you come up and share with us a little bit of your testimony? I'm just going to, first of all, ask you a few things and you can share. It's already turned on. He's an engineer, so he'd know that. So what's your name? Good morning. There you go. Just testing.
Good morning. My name is Michael Sammy Howard Collins. It's a long name. Like as an Indian, we keep an initial, like south of India. So Michael Sammy is my father's name. It came along with my name. So my name is Howard Collins. Again, there's a confusion. Me and my brother share the same name, Howard. So the church got confused. Who is Howard? So I asked Tony to call me Collins and call him Howard so that there's no confusion. So you can call me Collins.
Hello, Colin.
Yes.
How's Howard?
He's good.
Where were you born?
We were born in Andaman and Nicobar Islands, which is an isolated island in like 300 miles away from India, very close to Singapore and Malaysia. So it's we are from a small island.
A very small group, island.
Yeah, we're a group of 500 islands, all islands, small islands, like 20 kilometer radius maximum.
Okay. And so where do you fly in to go to get to your island? What main city do we fly into? India?
You can reach to our islands from Kolkata or Chennai. Only from these two places you can reach to our islands. If anything is disconnected in India, we don't get our food. Isolated island. In 2014, everybody might remember the tsunami which struck Indonesia.
Yes.
That time also world forgot us. We lost around 200,000 people.
Oof.
But wow. World forgot us. And totally we were blacked out for 12 hours. There was no communication between the mainland and us. Even our police department, cops failed, army failed, and everything failed. All the communication lost, but still we survived.
But God never forgot you, did he?
God never forgot.
God never
really, forgot. We got some connections to mainland missionaries.
Yeah.
from Chennai, like since my mother's side is from a like ministerial background. Like she's from hardcore Pentecost family.
Oh, those hardcore Pentecostals.
Yes. So they asked and they called everybody to pray for the island.
Right.
And somehow nobody knew, like they made a radio contact with us and they came to know like we are good and everybody is good. We lost some life, no problem, but we are good.
All right.
So we're happy.
So how many brothers and sisters have you?
We are two.
Just two brothers?
Just two. That must be elder, I'm younger.
That must be harder than your mother, right? Two boys like you.
Yes.
Especially if they're calling Colin, which one?
No, they don't call me Colin. They have a nickname because they find it difficult to call my name. Still, in India, finding a name, English name is a difficult thing. Whenever we were in school and college, all the time people will say, you don't have an Indian name, so that we can easily call you, because Indians find difficulty in pronouncing English name.
Yeah.
And my father decided to keep an English name for us. I don't know what made him to think so. So he said, you'll be called this and you'll be called this.
It's a common name in England, Colin.
Yeah, it's a common name outside, but for Indians, it's a very difficult name.
Like in Australia, they call everybody Bruce so they don't get mixed up. So are you married?
Yes.
And have you got any children?
Yeah, I got a kid, like small daughter, 3 years old, going to be 3 years old. They will be reaching here by day after tomorrow.
Coming day after tomorrow?
Yes.
Really?
Tuesday morning.
Praise God. Can you hear okay at the back there? Does he need, you can hear clearly? So your wife is coming tomorrow?
My wife and daughter coming on this Tuesday morning. They'll be reaching to Vancouver.
Yes.
So I was trying from past 7 months to get them here, but finally the visa got approved and they are coming here.
Praise God. That's good. That is good. So I'd like to ask you, did you invest Christianity, or were you, did you sort of look for Christianity, or did you look through different religions of the world? What made you bank on being a Christian?
I was a born Christian.
You're a born Christian.
Yeah, I'm a born Christian and a born Pentecost family. But yes, and truly speaking, my mother is from a Pentecost family, and they are very hardcore Pentecost, as I said. And my father's side is from a hardcore Catholic.
Oh, like me?
Yeah.
But I'm saved now, I'm okay. That's good.
When I say hardcore means, even if you go to any Indians, Catholics, and ask them what is your religion, they will not say Catholic. They will say Roman Catholic.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They want to emphasize on
that. I know that
they feel proud to be called as a Roman Catholic.
Yeah, there's two stands on that.
Yes.
But it's great because there's lots of born again Catholics, and it's
yes,
great.
Yes, now presently we are working on that thing, but... like coming
you
from both
you?
I can see both the cultures, like
yeah.
A Catholic culture, still my father's side is everybody's Catholic.
Yeah.
Only my father came to Pentecost, and initially he came to marry my mother, then he later had an encounter with Jesus and he accepted the Pentecost faith.
Oh, praise God. Isn't it amazing how men sort of look at that young lady and go, I think I'll become a Christian because she's pretty. It's amazing how many guys do that.
Yes, well, something happens.
If I start going to church, she might marry me. And then some of them don't even bother going to church. You just got what they wanted.
Yes.
But you know, they can never get away because of that sweet, gentle, humble spirit of the wife it talks about in Hebrews will turn their heart. And they'll melt till they turn Jesus. So, moving on to here. What was life like before you sort of really pursued after Jesus? Was your life filled with desires to like say me, I wanted to have a nice wife, nice kids, a big house, big car, and more, or were you in your culture more content?
No, it was not like that. From childhood like that, if you morning get up before coffee, you have to read the Bible.
Okay.
That was the condition. Like that we were brought up, me and my brother.
Yeah.
If you want coffee or tea, you read Bible first.
Yeah.
After waking up. That was the condition we were brought. Like there was no choice like that. I want a big home. Mom will say, no, think about the people who are homeless. Pray for them first.
Okay.
Oh, God. Like, I want a car. No, just walk a few steps, no problem.
Okay.
You'll get in government transport, like you can get on the bus and you can go. Not to hurry so much for a bus and other things. First, I cannot do anything for you. Only I can pray for you.
Right.
Remaining thing, you have to do your work. And remember one thing she said. She now also when I call her, she says like that, pray for the generation.
Very good. That's a good point, isn't it?
Pray for the generation. She always says, pray for the next. We prayed for you both, and you both are in a good position in a good country. And now you both people, pray for your kids so that they are good. Like, it's not like that I pray and you will be blessed. It's there, but you have to pray for others. That God will see that also, like, your mom is praying for you and what you are doing for others. So it was not like that. I just my mom is a Christian and my father is a Christian, so I am following Christian. It's not like that. Few encounters happened, like, which made a connection between me and the Jesus very strong.
Yeah.
Those encounters were like, I cannot even forget those encounters. Like when I heard a testimony of a person who was demon possessed and saying like that, okay, somebody is protecting you peoples. Literally, I can see like that. I'm seeing this person and somebody is covering this person, so I can't touch him.
Praise God.
This kind of testimony given by somebody in front of you happening live will change anybody's life.
Isn't that awesome, eh? That is awesome to hear what he said there was like his encounter was with other people who shared that they've seen a protection over the Christian. And that is very true. I really want to thank you for taking the time to come up here this morning. Did you want to say anything this morning?
Yes.
Come on, thank you. Thank you so much, Paul. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Manjusha. And in short, if it's finding hard for you to call Manjusha, you can call me Manju, a little bit easier. I'm so blessed to stand before you. I didn't think of sharing something with you today, but I feel like it's all the Holy Spirit that is working on. We plan something, but God has a different plan. And always God has the best plan than we plan and work everything, right? So I would like to share my testimony. I was born in a Christian, not Pentecostal faith. We have a group of people in South India that's called the CSI, the Church of South India. We used to go to church regularly. That's the priesthood mainly, the churches. The priest with the long dress and all, you like in the Old Testament.
The gown, yeah.
Yeah, and I was baptized when I was like 56 days old, I guess. And that's what, and I came to know that I was baptized from my parents. That was like, I didn't know what the Bible said because I didn't have any personal relationship with God until 2006. What made my life changing was, first, my brother, he's 3 years older than me. He used to drink and he used to smoke and do all kinds of atrocities. And he was like a pain in the home,
like a pain,
yeah.
In the bum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because my mom and dad, they used to like cry, like my mom used to be so worried about him because he sometimes come home drinking and he vomits, he throws up and he cleans by himself. He can't even walk to the washroom. So you understand what kind of drinking is that. And full of the friends and this and that. A few months he was without his job and he went to my aunt. That time my aunt's husband, he was diagnosed with a kidney failure and she was searching all the ways for healing for her husband. So many pastors and all, they were coming to her home and praying for them. And in their home, there was a book of testimony from the pastor, P.G. Varghese, and it was all his life, what was it about. And when he went and stayed there, the Holy Spirit maybe, he tempted him to read that book, which transformed him like a miracle.
Oh.
Yeah, in few days, he was like, he cannot do anything. He was just lying on the bed. He can't do anything. There was a lot of change, and we were thinking, he's going mad, he's becoming mental. Yeah, and we were like so scared. But in a few days, he started going to the prayer. There will be a lot of conventions happening in our place. So he started going to the prayer meetings, and he used to invite me as well. Manju, come, let's go. Then I like to hear the word of God, but I didn't want to go into it or surrender myself. I didn't have a plan like that. It's good to look from here and hear everything and enjoy everything. That was my attitude. But and then as I went with him for the prayer meetings, God, from his word, I started enjoying the word, and he touched me with all the words that I heard, and my eye was blind with the false things from the Bible. Like the Old Testament, it's not false. It was given because our hearts were hardened at that time. So those laws, but when Jesus came, Jesus broke all the laws, and everything was from love. So God spoke to me all those things, and God talked to me about baptism, which is very important, I feel, in our life. Baptism is not the one when we don't know anything, when we are a baby. We know, we realize, we know the word of God, we know, we love God, and we take a decision that we are going to live for him.
Yeah.
Or at least we can't live a perfect life, but God will help us through his Holy Spirit. If we get baptized, definitely God is going to help us to live a good, better life than before. So at that time, my brother got baptized first. There was nothing, no problem in the family. But when I was about to baptize, then my mom and dad, they were so mad. They stopped me from going to the prayers and everything, because they were worried, like, what will happen to her future? She's going something in a wrong way, like that. But still, at that time I used, like, I feel like Holy Spirit is like a fire. If it lights here, it will spread. Same way, I pulled two of my cousin sisters for the prayers, and they also started believing in Jesus. And we all three.
That's better.
Yeah, we all three got baptized in 2006, and I did it hidingly. I didn't let my parents know, because I thought, okay, if I can't convince them, let me do. It's only between God and me. I can do that without their knowing. Then few years after, slowly, I let them know, like, this and all happened, and it came to my marriage, and they wanted to get me married to a person from a CSI background. But as the scriptures says that a believer should marry a believer, which is good to keep their belief and to grow. So I said, no, I don't want to marry from there. And that also was a little bit hard for me to stay like that for some years. Yeah, and then finally, but God works. Whatever is impossible for us, God makes it possible.
That's right.
Same way, the Holy Spirit moved, and the surprise thing which happened in my family was my mom started realizing that, I always think my brother, who when he was drinking and this, nobody cared for him from the outside, but when he turned to God, everybody was saying, what happened to him?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Oh, he's going mad, something like that. So when somebody becomes good, that's also a problem, right? So I always used to ask my mom, like, he's think of his life before and think of how he is now. Then slowly she also started coming to the prayers. And she got baptized, and she is worshipping God in truth and the Holy Spirit now.
Amen. That's good.
But my dad he has to be born again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't accept Christ. Like, he reads the Bible, but he doesn't have a personal relationship with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would request you all to pray for him. And I'll finish my life. The story very soon, yeah. So that's how. Then for my marriage, then my brother, he did my profile in a matrimonial site, and that's how Howard's family, my husband's family, they approached us. That's how the marriages happen mostly in India. The parents, they arrange everything. Yeah, and then we get married, even if we know them before or not. So, but by God's grace, like everybody thought I wouldn't get married because nothing was working so many years. Yeah. So, but finally, and one of my relatives, she asked, "Oh, what are you waiting for? Do you think God will come and say, 'Oh, you married that guy or this guy,' like that?" Or if God, I was waiting for the God's will.
Yes.
Yeah, the perfect God's will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was asking, if God asks you to marry a dumb person, will you do that? And I said, yeah, if he asks me, he will give me the grace to do that. Sure, like that. Then so many such questions I had to face. Then finally, God gave me Howard in my life and the family. It's a great blessing for me. It's always good to, if you believe in Jesus Christ, it's always good to choose a pair who believes in Jesus.
Yeah.
So that it's good for your growth and everything. So I'm blessed now. I have so many flaws. I have so many. I took so many decisions in my life, which was not God's will, everything, but still I'm here.
Yes.
Not consumed in fire by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's my testimony. Good. That's my testimony, nothing else. I'm here by the grace of God.
Praise
and still
God.
He loves me. And he has a promise that if I die now, I'll certainly go to heaven because of his grace and because of the forgiveness of his blood, through his blood.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless. We'd like to pray for you as a family, and we want you to know, we want to welcome you into this fellowship at Park Drive. You've got a lot of people who love you and support you, and you've given us an opportunity to connect with you now, so you can't just run in and run out. And now you give them your name, and your husband's called Howard. We've got it. We're going to put a name on your back, so we know. Oh, it's Colin. Oh, it's Let's pray for you. Father God, thank you for this precious family who has muscled through lots of the things that we do in our own life, Father. We struggle in many areas in our life, but you are long-suffering, you are patient, you are gracious, you're a merciful God, Lord, and I just thank you for the testimonies of our brothers and sisters that from different parts of the world. I can understand, God, why you said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. And we thank you that for the good news and the testimony of our brother and sister this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. That's great. Isn't it good to be able to come into the house and hear from another culture what's happening, you know? And the value system and the struggle to stand up and be upright in God, even if you have to marry somebody dumb, you know. I mean, you know, I could say that myself. My wife is very good. She's a lot more smarter than me, so I may be in there a little bit. So, you know, the grace of God works greatly. Just want to encourage you this morning with a portion of scripture. It's found in Exodus 3 verse 8, and it says, "I have come down to bring them up." It says, for 400 years the Israelites were enslaved by Egyptian taskmaster who oppressed them and made their lives bitter. That's Exodus 1:14. Many of us can relate to their feelings of hopelessness when we think about areas in our own lives where we struggle with habits. Anybody struggle with habits? Well, there's a few honest people in here this morning. You know, sometimes we have habits, and the bad habits, whether it's food, if it's alcohol, if it's money, if it's procrastination or something else, we're probably all felt a little bit powerless and hopeless while trying to find freedom in those things. And what can lead us to choosing to give up or just being enslaved. You know, when we want to get away from, say, from, in my case, I had a struggle with alcohol. I had a struggle with drugs. I had a struggle with many things. But there's always something that comes in the picture to keep you in there. I was a disc jockey on the Fintry Queen here in Kelowna years and years ago, helping a guy in prime cuts. And I'm a stonemason bricklayer by trade, but I was earning some money. I was a disc jockey in England, so I was familiar with music. It was one of my passions. And I decided that I wanted to follow Jesus. And I was really following Jesus with all my heart. And this friend of mine phoned me up, Jeff Mow, and he said, I want you to do a gig at the yacht club in Vernon. I said, what for? He said, I just want you to do this last gig. I just want you to do that. I've got a double booking, and I want you to go and do it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be around the alcohol. I don't want to be around the drugs. I don't want to be around the party scene. And it was just like, I can't do it, Jeff. He said, just do one last one for me. So I went there. But what I did, I said, God, how am I going to handle this? I just gave up drinking. I had, like I said, I had a struggle with alcohol. So the owner of the company gave me a big bottle of wine to give to the bride and the bridegroom. So here I am, after setting up all the equipment, walking into this yacht club with a big bottle of wine and the trusty sword. And I said, God, show me what you want me to do. So before the evening started, I said, can I get your attention, bride and groom? Talk to the father. Yes. I said, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, the love chapter, love is patient, love is kind, keeps no record of wrongs. And I went through the scripture and read it out to him. And I said, without Jesus being in the center, like the three-corded strand of a piece of rope, we'll fail without Jesus. So my recommendation to you is to accept Jesus. Here's your bottle of wine, and here's a prayer blessing over you. Well, I talk about boldness. Talk about boldness. Prior to me getting up and doing that, the father of the bride says, I want you to give my daughter the best tonight that she'd ever in your whole life. Just pour it on, whatever records they want on, whatever they want, you make sure they're well looked after. I said, sure. He said, you see over there at that wall? I says, yeah. About, I would say, 5 courses a block high and as wide as those block, which are 2, 4, 6, about 8, 10 wide, was full of booze. And he said, my little weakness, eh? He said, at the end of the night, there's going to be quite a lot of that stuff left there. You can take it all home if you do a great job for my daughter. That is exactly where those little thoughts come in. Just when you're trying to get away from something, you're trying to give up something. I call it crabology. You know, you see a bunch of crabs in a bucket and one's just climbing over the top and the other one goes, come back here, you sucker. Wants to drive you, bring you back into the mess. When you have Jesus and you make him Lord, like our sister said, and make him a priority, then the journey of excitement starts. That's when God delivers you out of your fears, those things that have mastered your stinking thinking for so long. I don't want to be enslaved anymore. I want you to think about, is there something that's bothering you? Something's got hold of you and is enslaving you. Today is a great day to give it to Jesus. Whether it's food, alcohol, money, procrastination, which is the thief of time, right? Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do right now. I don't want you to be brokenhearted and crushed like the Israelites. They cried out to the Lord and he responded, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry out and I am concerned about their suffering. That's Exodus 3:7. God intended compassion towards them. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out into the land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 8. God came down to bring them up. He came down to do the same for us today. Right now, where you're sat. The idea of God coming down in order to bring us up gives us hope. Because there's nothing worse than hopelessness. Hope deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart very sick. When you just can't get over something and you try and try and try and you just feel like a failure. Don't allow hopelessness to rule your life. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. We don't have to try hard and work for freedom alone. God intervenes. Our habits and sins are not too much for him. When we admit we've gone wrong and ask him to help us, that is where we find freedom. Can you say amen to that? It's when it's called humility. When you feel like, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I just like, I've had enough. That is a good place to just surrender. And that's what it's all about. Surrender. That's not weakness. That's meekness. The Bible says, I should say, he doesn't turn us away, turn from us. Instead, he steps down into our situation and helps us to loosen the chains that have been around us. The Bible says the Lord, this is 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when the Spirit of the Lord steps down into our situation, there is freedom to be had if we want it. Notice that, if we want it. It's always our choice to accept or reject an invitation. God will never force himself in on you. He'll pursue you and he'll show you the best thing, the best road to walk down, how to walk in unity, how to walk in forgiveness and love. In fact, I've seen an ad on the TV the other day. It says, what's the point of having love if you don't extend it to forgiveness? If it's not used for forgiveness, it's useless. God gave us love and forgiveness on the cross. That extreme love and forgiveness come through the cross. And it's for the whole world. That includes you. That includes me. And it includes everybody out there and everybody in your sphere of influence. Because you've got the anointing in you, right? Your testimony is valuable. Doesn't matter what you were in the past. It doesn't really matter what you're in the future. You just know you're going to have a better life when you made that decision to follow Jesus. 38 years, 48 years, 40 for me. And I'm older than her. She must have got saved young. Today, I want to invite you to stop and think just for one moment if there is any little thing in your life that is stopping you from experiencing this freedom these people have shared from the pulpit this morning. It took a lot of courage for them to come up and do that, didn't it? You've really helped us to open up our hearts this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to get your story out and their life story to be up here as well. We need more of our testimony in the house of God and out on the street. We have a story, and it's a good story when we've been saved. If you're struggling in your life with a habit that is cheating your life or is ripping your family or friends off or killing you slowly, let me encourage you to listen to these five needs that all mankind needs in their life to feel free and to stay free. The first one is that you are loved by God. For God so loved you. The second one, you are accepted. The third one, he recognizes you. He recognizes you. I don't know if he knows me. The second one, the fourth one is security. In him, there is eternal life. There's a future hope. And number five, there is a purpose for living. I'll tell you a quick story, very quickly, about a minute. Barbara and myself came from England to Canada, and I'm a stonemason bricklayer, and we went in lean times in the 80s. The bottom fell out with the market. We had a farm to sell and a house to sell. We came over to Canada and we were okay. We were pretty flush. The bottom fell out with the market, and to cut a long story short, I found Jesus. I was doing a stone wall for a lady who went to the Baptist church. Husband's a carpenter. He wasn't good at building stone walls, and I'm no good at carpentry. So I built a wall for them. A year later, they phoned us up. She phoned us up, and we had nothing. The cupboards were bare. We were that poor that I used to grow carrots in the backyard, and I had lots of money. So down to zero, depending on God. And I had all these carrots growing. And Barbara called me and Stephen in, who was about 2.5, he's about this high at that time, and called us in for supper. And I'm walking up the steps, and he grabbed hold of the bottom of my pants, and he goes, "Dad," I said, "What, Stephen?" He says, "It's not going to be carrots again, is it?" A real reality. "Is it going to be carrots again, Dad?" And I said, "I don't know, son. We'll wait till we get inside." That night, that lady phoned up. She said, it's Tony Price there. And he says, "Yeah, he is. I'll go and get him." He says, "Oh, no, I'd like you to come over to our home and have supper tonight." Not seen me for a year. Didn't know me from a hole in the wall. I'd just become a Christian. We goes over there. We had supper. As we were leaving, we had a box like this, loads of vegetables, and a big chicken stuck in the middle. Goes home, frozen chicken, of course. Takes it home. But in the side was an envelope with $175, is it? $175. So Barbara phoned up and said, "Excuse me, what's this money in the envelope for?" She said, "Well, don't tell my husband, he's not a Christian. He might go berserk on me. But this $175, I've been saving it a little bit by little bit to go and see my sister in Edmonton. But God says, give it to Tony Price." It wasn't the $175 that got my attention, even though I'd been hungry, a little bit hungry. It was that God knew my name. God knew my name. He knew my address. He knew what my need was, and he was willing to supply all my needs. Because I stood on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own strength. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your steps." And I'll tell you, church, that is a testimony of somebody who's been down the road and has accepted God's love and affection. I just want to say to you, do not allow God to get past you. Get serious with your relationship with God. Make it a priority to sit down and talk with him. He's very concerned about your every need, young or old. He knows what you need. Today could be the first day of living life without playing that same old record of regrets over and over and over again. Did you get that one? Regrets. Today could be the first day of not running over the same old ground of guilt and shame that keeps you living in the past and never allows you to enter into the future for God's plan for your life. That plan was established before God ever put the planet in place. Did you know that? It says, in the beginning, God, and then he created the world. He created a plan for your life before he created the plan of the world itself as it is. He had a plan for your life. Don't let anybody talk you out of your destiny and purpose in God. And you don't have to be one of those leaders that has to run around with a new suit and flashy tie. You just got to be you wherever you are. Be the everywhere evangelist. Be the ever bubbling artesian well of God's amazing grace and love in your life. So don't go back to the guilt and shame anymore. So this morning, don't waste another moment trying to fix your past sins and failures. There's only one person who can do that. What's his name?
Jesus.
That's right. And has he done it? Yes, he has. And what you're struggling with now, he can put his finger on it and he can move it like that. But it's a two-way relationship, isn't it? It's a two-way relationship, just like a marriage. This morning, allow him to wash away all your tears and sadness and replace them with tears of joy and gladness. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that through the Bible we can see people being set free. When the Israelites were captive, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and you saved them from all their distress. You sent the disciples away so that Jesus could have time with the Samaritan lady at the well. And God, she was hungry and she was thirsty. Even though Jesus came without his bucket, he had to ask her for her bucket. And there was a divine exchange. The Samaritan didn't believe a Jew could talk together. But Jesus told her all that she had done. And she was so excited that when she ran to the village to tell them that they thought they found the Messiah, she left her bucket. And that was an important thing in her life. But because of her testimony, it says in John 4:29, that the people not only believed her testimony, they came to see this Jesus. And after spending 2 days, they didn't only just believe her testimony, but they believed his testimony and said that they believed that he was the Savior of the world. So Father, I say thank you this morning for these beautiful people that you have gathered here under your name. I pray for salvation this morning. I pray for healing. I pray for a move of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for complete divine deliverance from the past and a transference into the future with all that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Can you come back to this beautiful instrument, and I would like you to play something, whatever you feel the Spirit of God saying you, that's soft. And if there's somebody who wants to come forward for prayer, we're going to be over here, and then we're going to set up the tables and that. And I would ask this young lady, would you ask for the blessing upon the food this morning? You looked at me so that you got a job. You want to pray for the food?
Yes. Thank you, Father God, for all those hands that have prepared the lovely meal we're about to receive.
Amen.
Father,
yes.
As nourishment to our bodies, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. So we're going to probably move a couple of chairs around, or you can find yourself a little seat, and we can bring some tables and chairs in here. But for those who would like prayer, would you please come over to this side or get hold of us? We can go into the prayer room if you want some privacy, but we want to make ourselves available to you to serve you and to bless you. And I want you to see you pass the blessing on to somebody else. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Amen.
To you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Come on, join us this morning. Just sing your heart out. Yes, Lord. You're worthy of it all. The glory. Isn't he, great musician, great man of God?